is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Sharp questioning is expected for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, some of it about the sending of Marines and National Guard to Los Angeles protests of immigration raids. Hegseth has three congressional hearings today. While President Trump takes credit for preventing a bad situation, L.A. Mayor Karen Bass says just a few city blocks are involved.
LAPD and the surrounding cities that come together, the sheriffs, the California Highway Patrol, they are able to take control of this situation.
Police used tear gas and detained some people last night in Austin and Dallas, Texas, who were protesting immigration raids. A deadly high school shooting in the Austrian city Graz leaves 10 people dead, including 7 students and the suspected gunman, who's a former student at the school, says the mayor. Satellite photos show emperor penguins in one region of Antarctica declined 22% in the past 15 years, significantly faster than prior estimates. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A bridge crossing the Mississippi River to the south of La Crosse is open once again. The Blackhawk Bridge, which takes motorists from Wisconsin to Lansing, Iowa, reopened Monday morning. It was closed on May 17th due to one of its piers moving, but Iowa DOT officials said the bridge is safe to cross. The DOT said that it is planning future closures due to construction of the 94-year-old bridge's replacement, which is set to open in 2027. The current bridge was also closed last year for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. Who will run for governor next year? The current governor isn't ready to announce his plans yet. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
A breakdown in negotiations over a tax cut and other spending measures in Wisconsin threatens to put the 2026 race for governor on hold, with the Democratic incumbent saying he won't announce his decision on seeking a third term in the swing state until after a budget deal is done. Wisconsin is poised to be in the national political spotlight again next year, with the race for governor and a fight over control of the legislature.
Currently, only 2 candidates have officially declared their candidacy. Republican Josh Showman and Democrat Zachary Roper are the first 2 in the mix. There are 3 committee meetings today in city government. One of those is a city council planning meeting about the city's budget building process tonight. Tomorrow, the city administrator workgroup will meet. Thursday is the common council meeting, where resolutions on the final steps needed for the school district of La Crosse to begin work on 2 elementary schools will be decided, as well as a pair of proposals that would raise the stormwater utility fee twice in the next 7 months, and again each of the following 3 years. Sunny skies today, but rain is on the way. Highs will reach the 80s in most places across the Coulee region today. Clouds begin moving in overnight with slight chances of showers tomorrow. Highs will top out around 80 degrees. Better chances at precipitation begin overnight Wednesday into Thursday and again Thursday through Friday night. Temperatures will stay in the 70s throughout the rest of the week before bouncing back into the 80s over the weekend. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers move on. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers minicamp is underway. After releasing Jair Alexander, that leaves them with Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at defensive back. Team president Mark Murphy asked how he feels about that.
I feel pretty good. I think Keyshawn Nixon, a great story. He's undrafted. He's an all-pro returner. And the reality is, for like the last 4 years, Jair's about half of the games he's been able to play. So, we've been used to it.
Baseball. The Brewers play the Braves again tonight at AmFam Field. The Crew losing last night 7-1. Basketball. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night in Indianapolis. The Thunder beating the Pacers Sunday to tie the series at 1 game apiece. Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton asked about game 2 being more physical with fewer fouls called.
The officials to, let us play a little bit more. So just got to do a better job. How to be better earlier in games.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be quite a bit warmer today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80 this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low down to around 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with late day and nighttime showers and thundershowers. And once again, a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
I'll be slinging drinks at a charity bartending event, but don't worry, you'll be in good hands with special host Angela Lang, joined by Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of stuff coming up on the show today. Todd Alba will be here after the 9:30 news. We're going to talk, among other things, about the fact that Wisconsinites, by a pretty fair majority, support Planned Parenthood.
What?
I know.
Wait a minute. Do you mean that just regular folks who aren't elected in power?
No.
We agree on stuff?
There are things on which we agree.
Where have I been?
I know. It's kind of shocking. So we're going to kick that around with Todd. After 9:30, also with Todd, Robert Kennedy Jr. yesterday.
Oh, God.
Fired 17 people from the CDC Vaccine Advisory Board, which he essentially said during his nomination hearing that he would not do.
Yeah.
And then he did.
Hmm.
So with Todd, in the last half hour of this hour, we're going to put forth some names who should be on the next advisory panel about vaccines under Bob Jr.
Love it.
So if you have any suggestions mm-hmm. on who you would like to see on this vaccine advisory panel under Robert Kennedy Jr., text it in.
Hey, this is a great time to use the voice note.
It is.
You can go to the app, the Civic Media app. It's free, everybody. And you can leave you can call us, you can text the show, and you can leave us a voice note. It's right there in the middle at the bottom part of the screen. Press that button, leave a recording of your voice. It'll be sent to us. We'll make sure it's in context, make sure it's FCC compliant, but leave your name, where you're from, and how you're listening to us. So, yeah. Let us know your suggestions for the CDC Vaccine Advisory Board, because there are 17 positions.
Lots of open spots there.
If you want to apply.
Why not?
I mean, it's America. Why not go for it?
Do you breathe? You're qualified.
Do you agree with everything that the administration says? You might be up for a new job.
You might be ready. Also, next hour, there are a lot of protests planned for Saturday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Saturday, of course, is the big parade in Washington, D.C., the 250th anniversary of the birthday of the Army, but it is also Donald Trump's birthday.
Yeah.
So he's getting his big parade on Saturday, and then there are protests scheduled for all over the country. We're going to talk about that in combination with what is happening in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
President Trump ordered in 700 Marines.
700 Marines, 2,000
National Guard troops,
yep.
Which the governor, the attorney general, the mayor, even the chief of police, none of them had called for that.
Yeah.
None of them have asked for this.
It's almost, Jane, like they're using it as a reason to stir up fear and anxiety and consternation. Ooh, that's what a word. College word.
So that's coming up next hour. Also, we will lighten things up for the last half hour of the show, because by then I think we're all going to need to take a breath.
Yeah, we promise.
We promise. For Audio Sorbet, mm-hmm. we lost Sly Stallone. Sly Stallone. Sly Stone. Sorry, Sly. He's still fine.
He could be on the vaccine advisory board.
He could.
Yeah.
Along with James Woods.
There you go.
Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone has died. And so we were talking about kickback songs.
Yeah. What songs do you relax to, especially in these summer, warmer months, longer days? We all need to kick back and relax.
Take a breath.
How do you kick your feet up on the porch or wherever you do that? Or a driving, like maybe your kickback song is a driving song.
That works.
Let us know. Text us. Call us. Leave a voice note. Send them in now and throughout the show. And if, you know, we can read them and
play
make
them
some suggestions and make a playlist.
Oh, I like that idea.
There you go.
So that's coming up after the 10:30 news. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Bad Boys edition. Local too.
Are you sure you're not a dad? Because man, your sense of humor is like 90% dad joke.
It just calls to me. So stick around for that. That's coming up around 10:51. Wanted to start off with this though, an article I found in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Rick Barrett with the byline: with tariffs and taxes, Wisconsin manufacturers are at a critical crossroads. So it's interesting. Journal Sentinel talked to a number of business owners about the Trump tariffs, which one day it's 145%, the next day it's 50%, the next day it's, I don't know, 132%, the next day, yeah, not so much. The back and forth is really not good for business.
No.
And we've talked to numerous people about this.
We've talked to James Vanderloo from the OEC Group in Milwaukee. He's the president.
They deal with logistics.
They deal with logistics. And we've been talking to him since before the election on this. We talked to Missy Hughes from the WEDC. And it's one thing that I think business owners can get together on, regardless of who they voted for, is business does not like insecurity, does not like
uncertainty.
And this sort of thing especially affects those smaller middle-sized businesses that really rely on export imports and are just trying to make a buck. They're not billionaires.
No.
So yeah, this has been a roller coaster ride for the past 4 months, 5 months now.
And not stopping anytime soon.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, we got great deals coming any day now.
Well, tariffs are going to save us, Jane.
Well, but there's deals all in the works. They're going to be up. We'll have all the deals in 2 weeks. Just it's all coming in 2 weeks.
Along
Don't
with
worry
the economic
it.
Plan and the health care plan.
Yeah, all that's coming. Ed Paradowski, this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article, says he supports President Trump's goal of leveling the playing field for U.S. manufacturers, but also said that 50% tariff that Trump imposed on imported steel and aluminum puts his company in a very bad spot. He is the president of a Kenosha metal fabricator. He says, quote, we operate in a specialized and niche market with a specialized and niche supply chain. There are two global suppliers for the materials we utilize. Both of them are in Europe. There are just some things we don't make here.
Yes.
And can't make here. Yeah. I go back to a conversation that happened last week in a House committee hearing. Mm-hmm. Where
Howard Lutnick,
thank you.
And I think it was Congressman Dean.
I believe you're right. She said, let's talk about bananas.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about bananas, for example. We can't grow bananas here.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Well, he doesn't care. If we just do it, Jane,
then we'll find a way to grow bananas.
If Jane, if we make and grow and create everything that we use here in America, then there will be no more tariffs. We won't need them.
We just won't have bananas.
We'll make them, Jane. We'll just make them.
We're going to create bananas.
Do it. That is his thing. Just do it.
Yeah. She essentially said, look, you know, that's great that we want to bring manufacturing back. Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful. As we have talked to James Vanderloo, he says in many cases, it takes at least a decade to get some of the infrastructure up and running for companies to make these things that we need. Mm-hmm. So this is not a, I announce the tariffs one day and everything is up and ready to go the next day. That's not how it works.
Well, and not to mention that some of the, and by the way, I just want to clarify, it was Representative Madeline Dean who was speaking to Howard Lutnick about this topic. And she had a banana in her hand in the hearing. And, well, yeah, if we want to spare 10 years and let's say we want to build that iPhone factory here, and I guess I'll just pick a spot in Montana.
Why not?
Can we do it there? Does the ground support that kind of infrastructure? Also, the minerals and the ingredients, if you will, all the parts don't also come from this country. There are things that are not mined in this country that go into making phones. So unless Apple decides to redesign everything, and then congratulations, you now have a $40,000 phone that's made solely in this country. Awesome. But it's that it's the party that loves to tell you, do your research, who does zero research. Make it now. Make the bananas here.
Make the phones happen.
Build the cars here right now. Make a building right there. Put a building right
there.
It
shouldn't take that long.
No.
This kind of jumped out at me from this article again in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The president and CEO of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, Dale Cuyenga.
Oh.
That's a familiar name.
Did he serve in the Assembly and the Senate?
He did, as a Republican.
For like 12 years.
Here's what Dale Cuyenga had to say. We'll just call him Dale K for my benefit. Dale Cuyenga said, you can't have an environment where tariffs are going up and down like a yo-yo the next 4 years. If this is going to be the trend of never having a resolution on tariffs, then the uncertainty for business is going to lead us into recession. That's a pretty bold statement.
That is Republican and former state assembly and senator Dale Cuyenga saying the big R word, recession.
Recession.
Seems like they can say that a lot when they're not in office. They have no problem talking about.
Isn't that interesting?
The real facts. This is a guy I'm assuming who voted for Donald Trump. We couldn't find any information on whether or not he was about, you know, overturning the 2020 election. But still, he is a Republican. He has not changed parties. But this is a real thing. This is a real problem.
It is a real problem.
And this group, as well as I'm sure the WEDC, and I'm sure James Vanderloo, when he talks to individuals, I'll bet you it's a fair mix of Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, non-independents, whatever. They're all for the common goal of thriving. And that thriving helps the economy. And when Dale Cuyenga, who is a Republican, is telling you this is an unstable way of operating, then listen to your boy.
One would think.
Yeah.
Talking about tariffs and how tariffs are affecting Wisconsin industries, the CEO of a company in Waukesha that makes parts for the automotive industry, Austin Ramirez, says manufacturers simply cannot make a commitment if they don't know what the playing field looks like.
Yeah.
Much of what we're talking about is not reducing taxes. It's just not making things worse. It's making things worse. And for small businesses, this uncertainty is even more severe.
Mm-hmm.
Their profit margins are so slim the way it is.
We spoke to the owner of Moore Bakery, and there are things that she has to do to mitigate her costs. Pre-ordering, committed to certain size amounts, so she knows exactly what to buy, because she can't just go buy
40 of X.
And if she makes too much and it doesn't sell, well, that's money down the tubes. Like, this is such a non-business friendly. I take that back. Let me rephrase that. This is great for the billionaires and the multimillionaires. They're going to be fine. They're with the tax cut coming. They're going to be so good.
Oh yeah.
But for people who own the machine shops, for people who own the bakeries, for people who own, you know, whatever, the restaurants, just those simple small places that
little gift shops
that, you know, Jane, are the backbone of this country.
And they are.
They are suffering now and kind of being told, well, deal with it. You just wait.
Just wait. Hold on. It's all coming.
Be patient. Stick cool, dude. We'll all do this together.
90 days. 120 days, in some days, this will all be resolved. So just hang on until then. It's all going to be fine. When we return, a proposal for the city of Milwaukee. on how to crack down on speeders.
Oh, reckless driving.
Is this the answer or not? That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. No matter where you are, say, in Park Falls.
Whoa.
You can call or text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, we are in the midst of our statewide Sconny Summer Text Win Contest. After the 11 o'clock news with Tom Hartman, listen for Greg and me.
That's us.
We will give you the keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. You have an hour to do that. And then you're in the running for either $100 in hot cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. And then you are every entry qualifies you for one of two grand prize trips. Either a getaway in Door County or Baraboo, and we give you cash to get there. Gas money.
So amazing.
I know, it's fabulous.
Also, from now on, you are only allowed to refer to it as hot cash.
Hot cash.
You get $100 in hot cash.
Hot cash. That is coming up after 11 o'clock. You have four chances to enter in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours for our statewide Sconny Summer Text to Win Contest. That keyword again coming up after 11 o'clock. You could be a winner just like Cheryl and Muscadet. listening on nice. WRCO.
I'm so glad I work here because I would have never known how to pronounce Muscadet because I pronounced it, I think, as like Muscoda.
That's how I pronounce it. Todd Alba is the one who taught me how to say it right.
Hey, dude, you're saying you're wrong.
And Todd's going to be here, by the way, after the 9:30 news. So and stick
he,
around for
he
that.
He will correct us on any other Wisconsin city town
that we need to know. Mm-hmm. That's right. He'll put us in our place.
Yeah.
wanted to spend just a little bit of time about this. If you live in the city of Milwaukee, I would love to hear from you about what you think should be done about how to crack down on speeders. It's insane. And it's not getting better.
No.
Wisconsin and Milwaukee policymakers, again, this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Sophie Teige. They were hoping to pass legislation allowing Milwaukee to install cameras that will automatically cite speeding drivers. Mm-hmm. State law currently prohibits Milwaukee from installing those. They would automatically cite people who speed more than 15 miles an hour above the limit. State Senator LaTanya Johnson says this bill is about giving Milwaukee the ability to protect its people, nothing more, nothing less. Is that a good idea? Should we get red light cameras? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I live in the city of Milwaukee. I don't know that that's the answer.
I don't live in Milwaukee, but I live in a city. I've lived in Milwaukee. I lived there for almost 20 years. I don't either, honestly. I would love to have a hard and fast opinion about this, but the when I think of, because this is all in concert with talking about reckless driving, and
right.
We've talked to James Causey about this. We talked to the City of Milwaukee Engineering Department about
yes.
traffic calming measures, but I think there's two classes here, and I make no judgment on the people themselves because that's not what we're here to talk about. There are people who speed. We speed, I speed, you speed, Kelvin speed. We all speed. Whether it's 5, 10, 15, I think. And those red lights will definitely probably
catch
those
us.
Individuals.
Right.
And it make and you get a $50 or $100 ticket in the mail, and you're like, oh. And they send you a letter, and in that letter it will show a picture that it captures of you committing the infraction. So there's proof right there. So you can't be like, I didn't do that.
Wasn't
me. And you're like, ah, darn it.
Yeah.
And it might give you pause and keep you whatever, but in combating the reckless driving that we see in the news, which is overturned cars, people on the sidewalk,
blowing
injuring
through
death,
stop signs,
causing just the most, like the craziest destruction at intersections. I don't think this is going to do it. I think the people who speed like that, they're going to say, that's funny. I'm going to keep doing it. You know, like there's no going to be, it's not a deterrent.
As for the people who drive recklessly, they're not going to care. And what enforcement mechanism do we have to get them to pay up on these these fines? That's my whole thing. So you fine them, they get a letter in the mail, they throw it away.
Yeah.
What?
The furthest it goes is that you don't pay them. It's like not paying a parking or a speeding ticket. And there's probably going to be a bench warrant for your arrest. And yeah, if they catch you, then they'll arrest you and then you're going to get out. And I don't know if there is a fix for, because reckless driving to me is a personal thing. It's not the city's having two lanes, a city road having two lanes isn't what causes the reckless driving. It's the person, because I've seen people blow through traffic calming measures to get around and do their thing. I mean, yesterday, just on the freeway, I saw someone just swerving around people and then passing someone on the right on the shoulder.
Oh, my.
So, like, I don't want...
Is a $100 fine going to do anything about that?
Not for certain individuals.
Ellis from Cudahy listening on WAUK says, put in the cameras. It will make a difference. Enforcement and arrest. I would like to see something done.
Yeah.
But if all you're going to do is catch people who are going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, that's not where the issue is. It is these reckless drivers who are wrecking it for everybody.
Well, and that's the thing is, like in Chicago, they have this. They have, and I know for personal.
My husband
reasons.
Dealt with this too.
Yeah, and I don't know how effective it is, and I'm looking it up here, and it says that studies have shown that red light enforcement programs in Chicago have been effective in reducing dangerous crashes. I'm not against doing it. I'm not saying no, but I'm also not. I don't know just to say yes, do it. I don't know either. I guess I would like to see a study. I'd like to see.
How effective it is.
Because the internet's the internet. I'd love to see an actual professional group say, here are the things you can look forward to if you And is it in every single, or is it in affected areas? How do they plan on rolling it out? And how will it affect taxes and things of that nature and whatnot?
So, I don't know. Stockades?
Let's.
It's just a thought. Reckless drivers.
In the middle of the square, throw tomatoes at their faces.
Bad fruit, you know, and public mocking. I'm trying to help. Okay, news is coming up next. When we return, Todd Alba will be here from The Todd Alba Show, 2 to 4 across the network. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for The Todd Alba Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices continue to slowly fall here in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell slightly over the last week, dropping 1.7 cents to land at $2.95 today. This is 3 cents higher than a month ago and over 27 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. We aren't the only state where prices declined. Officials at Gas Buddy say refineries have ramped up output and gasoline supplies surged. There is an overall gentle downward trend across the country as summer progresses.
Here in La Crosse, gas prices have trended just under the statewide average for the past month, currently sitting at $2.95 per gallon. That's about 30 cents cheaper than the average price of gas last June. The Wisconsin DPI is making sure children are fed even while school is out for the summer. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
Amanda Cullen with DPI says the agency has an online service to locate those free meals near you.
There's a summer meals finder that if they put their address in, it will show the sites that are near them, and then they can contact the sponsors to find out, you know, the dates and times that they're offering meals.
You can find out more and find that program online at dpi.wi.gov.
Funding for the free lunches comes from the USDA. A full list of summer meal programs for kids in Wisconsin can be found on the DPI website or by calling 211. Concern is growing over severe weather forecasting after Trump administration cuts decimated the agency that provides that service. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist just Brittany Merlot.
The National Weather Service is warning of severe staffing shortages in Wisconsin and that none of their offices in the state have a chief meteorologist. The agency has three offices covering a majority of the state, with the Northwest region covered by offices in Minneapolis and Duluth. And due to federal cuts under the Trump administration, the remaining offices have also cut some of their services, like balloon launches.
June and July are historically the most active months for severe weather in Wisconsin. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The 2025 Tonys are in the books, and the big winner from Sunday night's event was Maybe Happy Ending. The production, a love story about two abandoned robots, was named Best Musical and brought in six other awards as well. According to Variety, the play struggled to find an audience until the reviews came in. Similar to the moving picture box office, the theater industry seems to be back on track following the pandemic, with $1.89 billion in ticket sales, which is a record. Brendan Jacobs Jenkins became only the third playwright to win Tonys in consecutive years with this year's Purpose, a hilarious look at a civil rights leader's dysfunctional family, which won Best Play. Other highlights from the evening include Succession's Sarah Snook, who was named Best Leading Actress in a Play for The Picture of Dorian Gray. And in sad Tony news that really isn't that sad, George Clooney was a bridesmaid for Best Performance by a Leading Actor in Good Night and Good Luck. Still nice to be nominated, or so I'm told. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be quite a bit warmer today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80 this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low down to around 60. Tomorrow, sunshine with late day and nighttime showers and thundershowers. And once again, a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins me to talk new movies. Then producer, director, editor, and Wisconsinology founder Frank Anderson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Tuesday at this time. From the balcony outside his fabulous headquarters in Madison somewhere, it's Todd Alba. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Jane, Greg, Kelvin. I'm out in the elements today. I thought I'd get a view of the Capitol, but smoke.
Canadian still smoke. Hazy.
Have they picked a new pope?
Yes. The Canadians have picked a new pope. That's right, Greg.
It looks a little bit hazy. Are you outside the headquarters or are you at home?
No. I'm my building's balcony.
Your building's balcony. I've seen that balcony, actually.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Well, you got to get up here, Jane. We'll enjoy a beverage and Greg and we'll just chill out. We should do both our shows from the balcony on a nice day.
Oh, I like that idea.
I do too.
I like that idea a whole lot. We'll work on that. We'll get that in the running. We'll get that.
By the way, we're trying to get on the road and I've been put in charge of transportation. Now, as Jane well knows, when I go on the road, there's only room for one other person because of the amount of equipment that goes in the back. So we have to get another vehicle. And we've been given a budget. And two questions. One, how do you feel about going around the state in a Fiat? And two, would you be opposed to a Camel? Because that's the budget we've been dealt.
See, I'd rather go with a Fiat because Camels spit. And I'm pretty sure that Fiats don't spit.
Well, if you try to put me in a Fiat, I might spit. I'll just ride on top holding on to either side of the car.
We could just hitchhike across the state, Todd, and see how that goes.
Wouldn't that be fun?
There'd be a lot of material there, I think.
Yeah.
We could do a train like hobos.
And jump on the train.
I'll get my bindle stick.
We'll keep working on this.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we will be coming to a town near you sometime soon.
We will. It'll all be fine.
Once we get all the details worked out, we'll be able to share that. Before you joined us, Todd, we were talking a little bit about trying to crack down on reckless driving in Milwaukee, and I don't think it's nearly as bad in Madison as it is in Milwaukee. Because really. But one of the things that they're talking about is installing red light cameras as an effort to try and crack down on this. And I did want to share at least some texts that came in before we move on. So we have Andrew on WAUK says those red light cameras might work, but vehicles need to have tags that the camera can read. And most of the people who are doing the speeding and doing the reckless driving don't even have plates.
Wow.
Which is a good point.
Good point. I mean, in Madison, our problem is, for those of you familiar, we call it the Beltline, essentially the main kind of loop around the city. There's people going 90, 100 miles an hour on that thing. Yeah. And then they crash and it's just ridiculous. So I don't know if it's so much red lights and running red lights in Madison. It's just the overall speeding. And then, they decide, let's crack down in the neighborhoods, where people are going 35 instead of 25.
Right.
And let's stop them. No, get out. Stop these idiots that are going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. It really makes you wonder sometimes.
It in the last segment, I'm sure you heard, it's like, it's the thing is neither one of us can really like be like totally for or totally against it. It just seems like a measure that can be part of it. You know, there's traffic calming measures. This could be a measure, but then there has to be a big push to stop the, because driving 50 in a 25 or 30, even a 35 sure. is bad, and that should be enforced and that should be taken care of. But that doesn't get to the root of the problem of these pictures we see on the news of 2-3 car crashes where people are injured and being killed. A red light camera ain't going to solve that. That's a deeper issue to look at.
Couple other comments.
I totally agree.
A couple other comments that came in on the text line. Alice from Cudahy. So at 5 miles over, you get a warning. Reckless drivers going 60 and over and doing donuts in the street need a much more serious consequence. Second offense, impound the car.
Yeah.
And Kimberly from Wauwatosa says, no, I don't want red light cameras. I already have speed bumps, narrowed lanes, new bike lanes. This does not deter dangerous drivers. This yeah. only affects the people in the neighborhood. Enforcement by law enforcement is what we need, more police on the ground as well. Mm. It's interesting that you mentioned the loop around Madison.
Beltline, yeah.
The Beltline. I was just in Madison, a month ago for the WBA's. No, I've never seen a cop on the Beltline.
No, rarely.
Yeah.
Rarely.
Seriously.
Confession on the air, and the statute of limitations has not run out. You know, I've been a long time. I did it like a month and a half ago. After my show in the afternoon, I had to go to the west side of Madison. I was going on University Avenue. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking about the show, as you do. You're like, what went well? What went? And I'm sitting there, and I saw the green light. And so I just went, and but I got halfway through the intersection, and I said some things I can't say on the radio because I realized it was the green light to turn left.
Yep.
My light was still red.
God.
And I'm halfway through the intersection. Yeah. I'm like, oh, blankety-blank crap. And I just floored it to get through. But
Todd,
so pay attention, people. Don't be like Todd. Pay attention when you drive.
I didn't get halfway through, but 2 days ago that happened to me. I was in the car. I was staring off into the middle distance going, man, I'm really amazing. And I just saw out of the corner of my, if you know me, then that's funny. The corner of my, I just see the color green and I start to go. And then I realize immediately it's the left turn lane and I stop. But then I'm also now in the walkway and I'm that guy. So it's.
Well, you have a story about that too. About the walkway, I remember you talking about this. You were in Madison. I don't know if you had to go to the grocery store or you stopped into a pharmacy. And there's the line as you come up to the red light. There is line where you are supposed to stop. So you're not hanging out into the crosswalk. And you got busted for that.
I was like, literally, my bumper was across the front of the truck wasn't even in the crosswalk, really. It was just over the white, the solid white line. Mm-hmm. And there appeared to be a rookie cop and their supervisor sitting right next. And I literally stopped. I came to a full stop. I looked at him. I turned and they smiled. I smiled. And then next thing I know, it's cherries and berries. And I said, was there a problem? I stopped. And they kind of looked at me, according to state statute, whatever, you have to have your entire vehicle behind the solid white line. Otherwise, it doesn't constitute a legal stop in Wisconsin. So that's your driving tip for today. Yeah. I will say I got a verbal warning. Okay. No, that one was a written
warning. It was a written warning. But see, I give you so much credit for not melting down and saying, do you see how they drive on the Beltline? And this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to give me a warning for? Are you kidding me?
Do you know who I am?
No. I was actually more amused by it than anything. I just thought, really? Okay, well, everybody needs training, I guess. So I'm glad I could help somebody. Now, if they'd actually given me a formal ticket where I had to pay and got points reduced, I might have been a little salty, but I'm just like, really? You have nothing else to do to them?
Never forget that. I will now when I'm driving, I'll always be like, look at there, cherries and berries. I'm just going to sing songs with, I've never heard, cherries.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's the old Richland Center phrase. Yep. Cherries and berries in the rear view.
You've made him very happy. I hope you know that. Good.
I'm glad I could do something today.
Todd Alba is our guest. You can catch him later on today from 2 to 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Why don't I talk to you a little bit about this, Todd? Because you have spent a lot of time going around the state, and I'm curious if you find this a surprise. But a survey finds that a majority of Wisconsinites support Planned Parenthood and abortion access.
A good friend of mine likes to say, at my age, nothing surprises me anymore, but it was unexpected. So I would say, no, I mean, I think, when it comes to Planned Parenthood, the biggest learning moment, I think, for me was in a way, you know, I'm a little old, but back in 98, while I was helping run John Sharples' campaign for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District, Republican, but a pro-choice Republican. And it was, you know, a big Second Amendment guy, fiscally conservative, but socially would be considered today liberal. And he was an adamant defender. He had a daughter and an adamant defender of Planned Parenthood. And he said, I have no time for people in our party that want to attack Planned Parenthood because of the work they do and what they do for women in particular, but not just for women, for all. He was a college professor at UW-Madison, and he was keenly aware of what Planned Parenthood and Madison and other places do, particularly for college students in terms of STI testing, yep, and treatment, and cancer screenings.
Cancer screenings, and, yep.
And he said, again, things I can't say on the air, but I'll clean it up. He said, people in our party that don't have time for parenthood, blank them. And he said, I have no time for it. And I think that was a real learning moment for me. And I think one of the big misnomers across the state of Wisconsin, you guys obviously are aware, but I think there's this stigma, false narrative out there that every Planned Parenthood clinic does quote unquote abortions, which is completely false and untrue. You know, you have to go to a specific medical clinic for that. And there are all kinds of Planned Parenthood offices across the state who are just there to help folks and to make people's lives easier and to make, in particular, young women and young men's lives better.
Well, and especially in areas where it may be more difficult to access health care. Because that is a growing concern as we see more rural hospitals closing and those kinds of services kind of disappearing. And so in some instances, Planned Parenthood has stepped in to offer, as you said, cervical cancer screenings and breast cancer screenings and all those kinds of things. And I would like to think, because of the results of this survey, that more people are becoming better educated about what it is that Planned Parenthood does. Mm-hmm. And one Agreed. Thing that I wanted to bring up that I will never forget that I heard on your show, and this is going back well over a year, but you were talking on your show about the issue of abortion and the 1849 ban in Wisconsin and what was happening after the fall of Roe and all those things. And you had an older woman call into your show and say, well, it's not like they're making these women carry dead babies. And you said, yes, they are, because they are.
Right. And I think that was a real learning moment for her. And that's, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get too emotional or weird about it. But to me, that's one of the great privileges of getting to come on the air every day and being behind the microphone is to, hey, maybe we're actually going to bring some truth and we could do it in a way that's accessible and people learn something. And that's how, look, I'm of all the perfect people in the world, I'm near the bottom. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm learning stuff every day, or I ought to be. And I think the more that we can just put out truth through all of our shows, and that's a great privilege of Civic is to do this, that makes us all better and we can learn from one another.
Completely agree.
Well, and that's one of the things that you say on your show all the time, which I have so much respect for. It's no one has ever told you what to say. No one has ever told me what to say. Mm-hmm. It's not like our owner, Sage Weil, says, comes in with a sheet on a daily basis and says, here's what you're talking about today. No, it's just be honest, bring facts, and be compassionate, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd occasionally try to be funny, which you guys are better at than me, but you know, it's still a lot of fun.
That's debatable.
I mean, it's true. I'm the funniest one, but the point is.
Exactly.
We are going to continue with Todd Alba on the other side. It's our opportunity to fill a government role Bob Kennedy fired 17 people. Let's get some replacements ready. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may have filled out a U.S. Census questionnaire which promised to keep your individual data private. There's concern the Trump administration or Congress may add a question about your citizenship in the 2030 census. Would you answer it? Since 1790, the U.S. has counted the, quote, whole number of free persons, not just citizens. The census has always promised anonymity to get accurate answers, and that data informs important decisions on everything from road construction to education policy to voting districts. The first Trump administration tried to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, but it was struck down by the Supreme Court. Trump later issued an executive order entitled Executive Order on Collecting Information About Citizenship Status in Connection with the Decennial Census, a precursor to possibly not counting the whole population, but just citizens. The Biden administration rescinded it, but Trump rolled back Biden's order in January. If a citizenship question were to be added in the 2030 census, a study released in March found it would likely depress response to the questionnaire, particularly among Hispanics. Add in Trump's recent orders allowing the sharing of personal information from federal agencies with DOJ, ICE, and state agencies, the effect on the census would impact policies and congressional voting districts for years to come. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget our Scotty Text to Win contest. Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. That's what it is.
I called it sizzling summer. Wasn't it sizzling at one point?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
But here's
what happened. Our show, Merrily, is my grandpa used to say, beat you guys a couple of times, but this, it was like whistling through a graveyard, which doesn't affect Jane because she came up through a, you know, a mortuary.
Exactly.
But many of us whistle through a graveyard. You beat, we barely beat you, and then you kicked our butt. It wasn't even, the contest was over in week one, and they retired your text to win jersey. And now they've pitted me up against the number 9 talk radio host in America against Hartman. I ain't got a chance, but we'll see what happens.
You can do it. I have faith in you, my friend. Everyone who is listening now, you want to enter during Todd's show from 2 to 4 o'clock. Let's put Todd over the top. Let's put him number 1. Now that we're no longer competing with him, I feel fine.
I've been sipping cool beverages this whole time, just like, oh, you want to do a voiceover? I'm good. All right.
Listen to Todd for the keyword between 2 and 4. You text in via the Civic Media app, and you are in the running either for $100 in cash.
Hot cash.
Hot cash. He likes hot cash.
I heard that earlier. Yes. I heard it's hot cash.
Hot cash. Or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. And then in the drawing, would you stop? For one of 2 grand prizes, a summer getaway to either Door County or Baraboo with gas to get there.
I just, $100 in cold, hard cash. Well, on this show, it's hot, soft cash. There you go.
Hot, crunchy cash. hot and crunchy, baby.
There you go.
So be listening. Later on today, listen to Todd from 2 to 4. He'll have the keyword in the 2 o'clock hour, and you could be a fantastic winner. Make sure you enter. Okay, so...
By the way, it's a statewide contest.
It is a statewide text to win contest. There, that's very important. Here's the headline from the Bulwark, and it kind of says everything. RFK Jr. is as bad as we all imagined.
What?
There you go. Yep.
Welcome to the party. I've been here for years.
Yep. He pretty much is. Yesterday, U.S. Health Secretary Bob Kennedy Jr. fired all 17 members of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention panel of vaccine experts and is now in the process of replacing them. And what blows my mind is Robert Kennedy Jr. said that firing these 17 experts is the only way to reinstate trust.
That's right.
The only way to reinstate trust in the process of vaccines. That is beyond rich, coming from the man who has spent 20 years doing nothing but sowing distrust about vaccines.
I have a question really quick. Speaking of trust, didn't he say in his confirmation hearing that he wouldn't do this?
He did.
Yeah. Also, sowing distrust, he wrote an entire book about Anthony Fauci, chock full of lies. So, yeah, like I said, I've been in this party for a while that I thought he was absolutely he was a menace before. Now he's just dangerous.
He is dangerous. This is dangerous. And the health professionals are checking in on this going, and so who is he going to replace these 17 people, vaccine experts, health experts, mm-hmm. who is he going to replace them with? My first guess is Jenny McCarthy.
Good guess. That's a good one.
Why not? Why not? Jenny McCarthy, former Playboy playmate. Mm-hmm. She was in MTV on some show where she stuck out her tongue. That's what she became famous for.
That show called Singled Out.
She is perfect. She's and she's been anti-vaccine for decades. Put Jenny McCarthy on the panel.
Well, really, Jane, I think what we do is just give them a bunch of medication and just try stuff. That's what you
just
do.
Throw it just on. Try it.
Just pop some pills. You know, you just pop them. And
just try and see what happens.
I don't know if that was a Bob Jr. impression or a really bad Matthew McConaughey.
Either one.
Yeah.
I'm just popping pills. I mean, I think that's really the key here is just, you know, try to take as many drugs as possible.
See what works.
Go back to the 60s. Yeah. See what works.
And just see what works.
What the heck?
Well, Bob Jr. does have plenty of experience with drugs from the 60s. We know he knows about that. Yeah. What he knows about vaccine, not so much.
Well, Jane, that's just it, though. He doesn't need to know, as he told our very own Mark Pocan, people shouldn't take medical advice from him when it comes to vaccines. Why in the world, Jane and Todd and Calvin and to all of our listeners, Why would a man who's in charge of the Health and Human Services Department, why should we trust his viewpoint on vaccines?
Because he's the head of the Department of Health and Human Services.
I don't know. That's just a job, though, man. That's just cool, laid back. Jenny McCarthy's there kicking back. She could be the assistant secretary.
To Bob Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
Let's get the dead bear on this panel.
The
one that he dumped in Central Park. Let's put him on the vaccine panel right away. He's got to be as much of an expert as anybody else.
Calvin just suggested a Biggest Loser host, Jillian Michaels. She'll just yell at the viruses until
it goes away.
Yeah, just that's
I like that idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Good
I
idea,
think that
Cal.
Works. Yep.
Very good idea. Yeah. Who else should we put on there? I'm thinking just.
We got 17 slots. There's a lot of slots to go.
Yeah.
Slots?
Todd.
Slots to go.
Todd.
On the panel.
It's
a connections board. All right.
There it is.
I was thinking the Trump administration. Anyway, I don't know who you put on. I mean, yes, obviously it's funny, but it's also really, really sad.
It is.
Because, again, like so many things that the Trump administration, like cutting off USAID and the PEPFAR program, which is bipartisan in Africa, you're going to have people die because drugs aren't going to get approved in America.
Yep.
Listen to Todd. Check him out this afternoon. Be listening for that keyword. Put him over the top, 2 to 4 p.m. Todd Alba across the network. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll see you later.
Thanks, you guys. Bye-bye.
News coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Another update on the deadly high school shooting in the Austrian city Graz today. 9 people killed and at least 12 others injured, says the Austrian Interior Minister at a news conference. Police say the shooter died by suicide in a bathroom in the school. He was a former student of the school. Michigan State University and 3 surviving victims of the 2023 mass shooting on campus have settled a lawsuit for nearly $30 million, say the lawyers. Expected to be questioned about sending the military to Los Angeles to handle protesters of immigration raids, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who has 3 congressional hearings today. Hegseth beginning the first one this morning this way.
In the last 4 months, we've moved quickly to reverse course after 4 years of weaknessness and mismanagement.
On the witness stand at his sex trafficking trial in New York, Sean Diddy Combs' ex-girlfriend, Jane, testified this morning that she still loves him. This is ABC News.